Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, and welcome back to You Need Therapy. My name is Kat, and it's a really good day to be here. You're getting a full episode of Just Kat. Before we get started, a quick reminder that although I'm a therapist, this podcast is not therapy or a substitute for therapy, but it might, however, encourage you to go to therapy, which I think is pretty cool, pretty exciting. So if you've been around for a while, you probably know a good bit-ish about me. And if you're new, welcome. I'm really happy you're here, even though I don't exactly know who's here. I'm happy that you are. And I want to introduce myself a little bit. I think this is an important thing to do because I created this podcast to help us get thinking and talking about the stuff that kind of scares us in our lives. And you know, I think we need it to build a little trust before we have a lot of those conversations. So I want you to be able to kind of know who's talking to you. And I don't want you to blindly take what I say as gold. I don't want that. I don't want that for my clients. I don't want that for people in my life. I definitely don't want that from you guys because one, what I say is not gold. I do say some great things sometimes, but like sometimes I can be wrong. And I want you to be able to wonder and be curious about that stuff. And two, this podcast is something that I want to help encourage you to find your strength rather than rely on other people to help you feel or know things. Like I want it to build you up rather than like build whoever's talking up. So my name's Kat. I'm a licensed therapist and I live in Nashville. I've lived here for a really long time and I own a small group private practice called Three Chords Therapy. Shout out to my girls, Janie and Stacy. They are two therapists that work with me. And if y'all are in Tennessee and need a good therapist, you can visit our website, threechordstherapy.com, and send us a message and we can hook you up with a good therapist if you live in Tennessee. Otherwise, we cannot work with you. Bummer, but we got to follow the law. I also am more than my job. I'm a really curious human. I love to learn and I love to question. I love to wonder and I love to think. And I got my degree, my graduate degree at Vanderbilt a while ago. I don't know how many years ago. And I often wish I could go back and sit in some of my classes again with the life experience that I have now, because I'm like, I love to learn. I'm like, I wonder what it would be like if I could go back with the human I am now and see how I would learn and pick up and absorb things differently. I just wanted to know what would be different. What would I hear different? What would I soak in more? Because back then, like in grad school, I was fighting a lot of stuff. I was fighting remnants of an eating disorder for the majority of the time. I was fighting a raging exercise addiction and I was fighting a lot of anxiety that I actually didn't know existed. And with that, with the learner I am and the wonderer, I also am a planner, but I'm not the kind of planner that you might be thinking of. I'm very disorganized. Making itineraries and schedules, that kind of stuff, like, stresses me out. Like, I cannot. I mean, I'll do it if I have to, but that's not the kind of planning. I like to plan things to look forward to. So I always have something on the schedule. And, you know, honestly, often the looking forward to it part beats the actual thing I planned. Sometimes I plan so I don't have to worry. And I used to worry a lot, like a lot. I worried what people thought of me. I worried about how things would go. I worried about where my life was going to take me. I worried about the freaking seam of my sock not lining up properly. And honestly, I still worry about that. And I dealt with my worry by trying to plan. This is a true story. I don't know if I've said this before in here, but when I was little, I exchanged the same pair of tennis shoes like 7 times. I don't think it was actually 7, but a lot of times, because I was worried about the fact that they didn't fit right, like which felt better. Like I couldn't even figure it out. And as a therapist, I often sit with a lot of people who worry as well. And I share some of my experience, not only because this is a nice segue into where we're going today, but because I want to bring the humanness into the conversation we're about to have. Worrying is a thing that we do. Not all of us, but a lot of us do it. And like, I think everybody at some point has worried about something. Now, while it definitely doesn't mean something's wrong with you if you worry a lot and if you're really anxious and all that, it also doesn't have to be this way. But in order for us to shift things, we need to uncover what it is we get out of worrying. Like, what do we get out of this? And don't even say in your head, I get nothing, because if you got absolutely nothing from it, you wouldn't do it. We don't do anything for no reason. It might not make a lot of sense, but you get something. Now, what I have found to be very, very, very interesting is that a lot of people who are doing all of this worrying actually have really great lives. Like, their lives are kind of going well. A lot of life's greatest worriers aren't the ones who are in the midst of chaos and the most setbacks and tragedy. A lot of life's great worriers are people who kind of have the things that they have wanted, which sounds weird. And maybe it sounds like you. If it sounds like you, then get excited, because that is what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to jump right into it. I bet some of you guys have, well, probably all of you, I would think, have heard the phrase, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I cannot tell you how many times this has been said in my office of somebody sitting on my couch and being like, it's just like, this is happening, and these are all going great, and I'm just waiting for something bad to happen, just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And before we get into that, let's talk about, what does that phrase even mean? Like, where does that come from? What does that mean? Like, the shoe to drop. And it means that you're waiting for an unexpected, like, inevitable bad thing to happen. And it comes from, which I thought this was interesting, it comes from back in like the late 19th, early 20th century, how like apartments were in New York City, I guess they were really thin, and the bedrooms were all located like right above each other. So where your apartment is, your ceiling is somebody else's bedroom. And so it was like a thing where you would hear somebody like take off their shoe. And then once you heard them clunk one shoe down, you're like, oh, waiting for the other one, and the other one falls down, and you're like, okay, like one means another, I guess. So it's an inevitable thing that's going to happen, basically. Now, when I think about this experience, I think about like just being on edge, like on the edge of my seat, you know, and like just sitting and worrying and playing out like a bad scenario or bad scenarios. You're creating them in your head, and you're like hurting your own feelings. Like, that's what the experience reminds me of. It's not an exceptionally good experience to be in or have. So the question would be like, why do we do this? Why do we tend to feel this way when things are going okay, especially? And why do we feel the need to brace ourselves for like a fall when technically we're balanced and technically we're on solid ground? If everything's okay, why can't we not do this? And when we do it, why can't we just make it go away? Another way to put that would just be like, why is it so hard to sit in like the goodness of life? Pretty simple, but weird question. Weird question that, like, why do we even have to ask that?
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if we come back to a phrase that I've mentioned before on here called secondary gain, it will help explain a little bit. A secondary gain is when we're doing something that like doesn't actually make sense or help us, but like we get something out of it. So you know how earlier I was like, don't say you don't get anything out of it because you do. So this explains why we do things that in the aftermath, they cause us more pain, but in like the here and now, they might like solve an issue. But maybe not really. Like acting in our addiction or continuing to not follow through with boundaries you've set. It's like, have you ever asked yourself, like, why do I keep doing this? Because it's helping with something. Like whether it's actually helping or not, it's helping with something. So maybe you don't have to feel that uncomfortable feeling, but then you also don't have the relationships you want in your life, you know? So when it comes to this stuff, by creating a narrative around something bad happening, we're kind of metaphorically bracing ourselves from a fall, right? We think we're helping. Because in our brains and our bodies, it won't stay like this forever. Like it's not going to stay good forever. So we better suit up and we better prepare. Brené Brown, who is incredible, she's written and spoken and talked about this a lot. She calls this whole experience foreboding joy. And she describes it as a way to suit up and protect ourselves from vulnerability. So before we explain this foreboding joy, let's talk about vulnerability. What is that? Like we hear it all the time. What is vulnerability really? I bet some of you guys, when you even heard that word in your head, you're like, oh, I love vulnerability. Vulnerability is awesome. And then some of you guys are like, ew, I don't do that. It's a hot topic. It's somewhat trendy. It's a trendy word. We use it all the time. We talk about it all the time. Do we really know what we're talking about? I don't know. But we're going to talk about that now. Vulnerability is something that historically has been seen and talked about as a weakness, but is now highly, highly, highly regarded, at least in my field and in the field of relationships, as one of the biggest strengths within the human condition. It's something that we also want in other people and we think is awesome in other people, but we're afraid to experience it and show it ourselves. And it's an ability to be uncertain and honest. It leads us to the largest and most important healing agent, which is human connection. Like it leads us to connection and allows real connection to happen. Without vulnerability, there isn't any connection, but we don't like it. We don't like vulnerability because it's uncertain. It is uncertainty. We like things that are black and white and just is what it is. However, living in the black and white limits us. What it limits is the fullness of the most important experiences that are actually like covered in uncertainty. like love, like belonging, like trust, like joy, and even things like creativity. Like, those are all things that if you ask people what you really want out of life, they want those things. But those are covered in uncertainty, which is covered in vulnerability. So back to foreboding joy. What would you think, what would you say if I told you that one of the most terrifying emotions that we can feel is joy? Would that surprise you? Would you believe that? Because I hope so. It probably surprises you, but I hope you believe it because that is true. Brené Brown actually says this too. And she says that joy is one of the most difficult feelings for us to allow ourselves to feel because it automatically makes us incredibly vulnerable, right? So when we allow ourselves to feel joy, we become vulnerable to the possibility of that being taken away or not feeling that anymore. We're vulnerable to the fact that our hearts might be broken or our hopes get let down or any of that. And a lot of our feelings that we experience, we intrinsically want to go away, right? Like anger, fear, sadness. We don't really get nervous that we'll lose these feelings because they don't feel good. But joy feels good and we want to keep that. But when we have it, then we recognize that, oh, this could go away. And so we do this thing. So when you have trouble tolerating the vulnerability of that joy, what you do is you start to do this thing called like dress rehearse tragedy. If you haven't heard of that, dress rehearsing tragedy is imagining something bad is going to happen when in reality, nothing's wrong. Like nothing is wrong. This is when we're doing that thing about waiting for that shoe to drop. It's creating stories in your head. Now, the idea behind it makes sense, right? Like you're getting yourself prepared. The problem is, there's nothing to prepare for. And what you end up doing is you just lose a lot of precious time and experience feeling the joy that you want so bad and you don't want to go away. During her research, Brené talked about people that she found who did have an ability to like really sit and experience and feel their joy. And what is interesting is what they did is not that like eye-opening or like jaw-dropping. She said that the people that could really experience and had the capacity for joy, when they felt joy, instead of going into this like dress rehearsing of tragedy and practicing disaster, they just used it as a reminder that they need to practice gratitude, which gratitude is a practice, not a feeling. And we're going to talk about that in a second. So another question, and I don't know if I fully answered this yet, is like, why do we need to do this? Like, why do we, that's great for those people that can like practice the gratitude, but like, why do the people that do the practice, the disaster, why do they feel like they need to do that? Like, were we born that way? Like, why would we need to protect ourselves here? Like, why is the vulnerability so hard? Like all of that. One, because of life, because we experienced life. No, we weren't born that way. But a lot of us have had experiences when life has really let us down. And it makes sense to not want to feel that again. It makes sense to not have to want to go through those experiences again or want to be better prepared for those experiences.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's talk about attachment and relationships for a second. In modern attachment, modern adult attachment, which there's plenty of podcasts on that in You Need Therapy's catalog. If you just type in You Need Therapy attachment, you'll find them and you can dig deeper into this stuff. But in modern adult attachment, we have these two main insecure attachment styles. One is anxious and one is avoidant. In a nutshell, the human with the anxious attachment is someone who has experienced hope and then lost it over and over and over and over again. So they know hope is real, but then it goes away. But then they know it's real, then it goes away. They know it's real, it goes away. Someone who has an avoidant attachment is someone who just like didn't really have the experience of hope. Like it's been shut down. So then they shut down and they kind of numb out. They don't do vulnerability like at all. So their experience of this will look more like avoiding the experiences in life that would offer them the great joy, because when they get a taste of it, they back off because then they realize that like, oh, that comes with that. I don't want it. So I'm going to back away. The fear of abandonment and rejection and all that stuff trumps everything else. So I'm not willing to risk that because I don't really see the point, because hope is not a thing. An anxiously attached human is going to taste the joy and then freaking panic about it going away. So how do we end up with an anxious attachment? Like I said, they have these experiences that show up and show us hope, and then they get taken away over and over and over again. So our anxious behavior pops up as a way to avoid the removal of the hope. Well, I know hope is real. Hope is here. I know it's going to go away. So how do I hold on to it as tight as possible so it doesn't? So we dress rehearse scenarios that we think may help us deal with the inevitable. How might I better prepare for the fall so it doesn't hurt, or so maybe I can avoid the fall this time? So that's what they're doing. Now, an avoidant, they lost the hope. So rather than dress rehearse as a way to prepare, as a means to save and savor the joy, they're more prone to like dress rehearse as a way to just kill the joy because it's going to be gone anyway. So like, let's not get our hopes up. Like, it's almost like they don't even believe it. It's like, yeah, it's not that great. I don't know why this popped into my head, but I'm thinking about crumble cookies as always. And I'm like, this is not like an actual clinical like example. This is just like a picture of it, but like an avoidantly attached person. Like those are the kind of people who like, if you're like eating this crumble cookie and it's like the best cookie ever, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And they're like, I mean, it's not that great. It's just a cookie. It's like their capacity to get excited is different, because like, what if they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to taste this cookie, and then they don't really like it. Not worth it. Not worth getting your hopes up. So let's talk about like an example of dating, because like that might be more helpful than my crumble cookies example. But think about dating. Have you ever had an experience where you went on a date and it was just the best ever, right? Like you had so much fun and you really enjoyed yourself, yet your next thought is, this isn't going to last, or, well, anyone can have a good first date. It doesn't really mean anything, or anything along those lines, like that kind of stuff. You're kind of preparing yourself to get let down. Someone with a more anxious attachment is going to be the person who like texts that human a million times and like can't just let them text them. They have to like, I have to make sure they're going to text me. So I'm just going to text them first, and then I'm going to text them after I text them first because they didn't respond to me. I have to make sure that they got my text. That's an exaggeration, but that's the anxious person, where they're going to talk to their friends over and over and over and over and analyze every single behavior. And you know what? They miss the part where they had a lot of fun because they are so worried that they won't get to have a lot of fun again, that that's going to get shut down. So it's like, maybe if I analyze this enough, I can like find a way to save it or hold on to it or anything like that. Well, the person with a more avoidant leaning attachment style is going to be like, I'm not getting my hopes up because like, yeah, I had a good time, but like it never works out. They're the kind of people that are like, all men suck if they're into men, or all women suck, or, you know, a relationship's not that great anyway. Like they're going to just like, it's like a killjoy, literally. Now, those are extremes. Those are two extremes, but I thought it was worth mentioning a little bit today, even though somebody with a secure attachment can also be involved in this experience of foreboding joy, just because of like our culture and just because like you don't have to fully lean one way to have some kind of anxiety. Please, please hear that very loudly. You don't have to have an insecure attachment to have anxiety. Those aren't like one and the same. And overall, the reason I wanted to talk about this and create a whole episode about this is because this is something that we do because it offers us a secondary gain. But I would like to just say very loudly, the issue here is that the secondary gain isn't that great. It's really not. And we need to notice that. Awareness is the first step. So this information isn't going to change your life, but the awareness is the first step for you to be able to change some of this behavior. When we prepare for things that aren't actually happening right now, what we're doing is we're stealing the opportunity to be present, and basically we're stealing the opportunity from ourselves to be joyful. We lose moments, like we actually lose moments of our life. The thing is, we cannot avoid a lot of the tragedy that we dress rehearse. We cannot predict the future. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And thinking about it ahead of time doesn't actually better prepare us. Like it doesn't actually make the fall less hard. It just makes us live in the fall longer. Like we're kind of like spreading that out. We're just spreading the fall out longer. It's like in slow motion versus like I fell, now I have to get up. It's like slow motion and then like slow motion for me to get back up too. So what we're doing might give us an idea that we are helping, right? It might, and for some people, it might take away the experience of having to actually lose the joy. But then what you're also doing is you're not allowing yourself to experience the joy. So what's the point? We can't selectively numb emotions. We've learned that. We can't do that. And so if we're not willing to experience like ick, sadness and fear and rejection and all that, then we're not going to be able to experience the things that we really, really want, like true connection and true relationships. So what's the solution? Because, you know, don't just throw this information at you. What's the solution? So the solution is a practice, because like I said, information doesn't change our lives. It helps us change our lives. So the solution is a practice, and the practice involves gratitude and mindfulness. So when we start to get afraid of what may happen, we bring ourselves back to what is happening, right? So when we start to get afraid of what may happen, we start to do that thing where we're creating scenarios and we're taking ourselves out of what we're experiencing now that actually is really good. We bring ourselves back to what is happening. You went on a date and it went well? Okay. Well, that's where we are. That's all you need to know. Whether you end it in your head now or it ends later, you're not technically avoiding the sadness of it ending, but you are avoiding the ability to be in the goodness of your life now. You had a good date. And I'm using this dating example, but it could be literally anything. Literally anything. And listen, I get it. I really do get it. And it's not lost on me that it's easier for me to say a lot of this stuff than it is to actually experience it. So I get it. Pain is painful. And I don't want my heart broken ever again. I really don't want that. If I could choose, I'd be like, hey, yeah, can we not do that again? And if I want the kind of relationship that I know my heart was built and woven for, I have got to be willing to experience pain. I have to. That's a non-negotiable. And I want you guys to really hear that, because I'm a human. I am a human being. And I get really sad and I feel a lot of pain in my life as well. I do. Like, I'm not saying these things. Well, I'm saying them easier than experiencing them, but I'm not saying them not knowing what it's like. I don't know your life. I don't know your exact life experiences, but I have had moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever, 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 ever. I don't want this ever again. And I've said to myself after a breakup, like, I'm not dating ever again because I don't ever want to feel like this. I've said that multiple times. And then I come out of that emotional decision and I remind myself that, like, oh, what I want trumps what I don't want. I want a relationship, a real relationship that I was meant for, more than I don't want to feel that sadness. So this is a non-negotiable. They come together. The risk comes there. Like, it, the risk is part of it. No one who is in an authentic relationship with another human or other humans has managed to avoid pain. Like, nobody. And if anybody says that they have, then, like, I don't know what their definition of authentic relationship actually is. So this might sound like anticlimactic or too simple as we're talking about, like, gratitude as a solution, but I think that something that we do is we just overcomplicate our needs too often. And going back to what I said in the very beginning about us talking about gratitude being a practice, gratitude is a practice, not a feeling. It is a practice that breeds joy, right? If we want more joy, we practice gratitude. So practicing gratitude is something that grows and breeds and feeds our joy. The solution to foreboding joy, practicing gratitude and being mindfully present. And honestly, what would life look like? Like, what would your life look like if you spent more time being grateful for the things that you have now than worried about not having them later? Like, what would life look like? You would probably have more joy in your life. Doesn't mean we're taking away any of your pain, but you would have more joy. And you know what? I would choose that. We can't avoid shoes dropping. Like I said, they will drop. Bad things will happen. And I'm not saying that the more gratitude you practice, the less bad stuff will happen. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that refusing to acknowledge the good doesn't make the bad easier to handle. It just makes it worse, actually, because it takes the important, real moments that you want to be in and that you're excited about and that feel good, you're taking those away from your life. So, in conclusion, if you're somebody who has said that stuff, like, things are going great, waiting for something bad to happen, welcome this into your life. Welcome some pauses where you're like, oh, things are going great. I'm really glad things are going great. Things are going great. Wow. Things are going great. Like, notice that. Sit in that. And again, it's a practice. So it's going to take some time for your mind not to automatically wander into, like, when is something horrible going to happen? When am I going to lose everything? Honestly, is that really important right now? Because if in the reality we can't change it, why don't we pay more attention to the fact that we have it now? If you want to learn more about this, if you want to hear more, I'm sure you could just do a Google search with Foreboding Joy and Brené Brown. I'm sure she has plenty of, whether they're videos or articles written about it. She talks about it in her books, specifically Daring Greatly, which is a great book to start reading. If you're like, I want to do some introspection, I want more than just podcasts, I want to read some good, like, really good literature by really smart people and credentialed people, Brené Brown's a great place to start, and Daring Greatly is a great place to start. That book is incredible. But I hope this was helpful. With anything, I hope that this, like, conversation just helped you feel less alone, because I think a lot of people, when I hear them say that, like, I'm just, why do I do this? Like, I'm just waiting for something bad to happen. A lot of us do it, and why you do it makes sense. But just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's actually helpful and useful. So take with that and do as you please. I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad you're here for this conversation. I'm glad I got to do some one-on-one with you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, if you have not heard this awesome news, I am now starting to do one of Amy Brown's podcast episodes with her every week. So she has a podcast called Four Things with Amy Brown. I know most of you probably listen to it. And she does two episodes a week. One is her Four Things on Thursdays, where she'll go through four things, whether it's with her or a guest. And then her Tuesday episode has historically been her answering emails that you guys send to her. And we are transitioning that Tuesday episode into a space where we just get to talk. And right now we're calling it Amy and Kat Chit Chats, but we're workshopping it. So if you have any ideas, let us know. But we're going to do things like answer emails or just talk about things that, like, we think about throughout the week. And we love doing episodes together. And so we were like, why don't we make this a thing? Because it's just a space where you get to hear, like, two friends talking about things that matter, sometimes maybe, I don't know, they might not matter to you, but they matter to us. So I'm really excited about it. And I hope you guys are excited too. So Four Things with Amy Brown, go subscribe to that podcast if you don't already. If you don't already subscribe to this one, do that as well. And you can rate it and review it. And that would be awesome. We would love that. And I think that does it for me today. So I hope you guys have the day and the week you need to have. I will be back tomorrow with Amy on her podcast and Wednesday for Couch Talks.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.